Okay, so let's start with our prophetic declaration. Are you ready? I declare in Jesus' name that in 2019, I will see the new that my Father has already begun. I have an anointing to know all things that have been freely given to me and are written in heaven. I choose to set my heart in a place of purity, washed by the water of the Word. My eyes are wide open, see and hear the Lord with a deeper clarity I have never experienced. I will see and experience heavenly surprises, wondrous works, and marvelous signs from heaven. The Lord will guide me continually, giving me water when I am dry and restoring my strength. I will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I have received the ministry of reconciliation to rebuild deserted ruins, rebuild walls, and restore homes. I am joyful in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, or responsibility. I acknowledge that in Christ I have received a divine exchange. I have received the nature of Christ, and I live in a place of divine health, joy, peace, and abundance. He has promised I will enjoy a double share of honor and possess a double portion of prosperity, and everlasting joy is mine. Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, today that it is true. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Your word illuminates wherever we go and drives out all darkness. Now today, Father, your word is going to give us revelation and it's going to give us light because your word is inspired by you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. You are here with us. Jesus sent you to teach us and to guide us into all truth. We want to know what you know, Holy Spirit. We believe by faith that we will receive revelation from this word today. And we thank you for in advance, Holy Spirit, for you being our teacher. Amen. Romans chapter 11, you're there. But before you get there, today's word is going to be a teaching on the difference between prayer and declaration. There is a difference. Declaration is not prayer, and prayer is not declaration. They serve two different parts in the believer's relationship with the Lord. Notice I said they serve a different part in the believer's relationship with the Lord. That prayer and declaration come out of a relationship with God. What do I mean by that? To pray effectively, we must have God's word settled within us, and the word of God must be at rest in us. To pray effectively. Yes. You just go around praying what you want, your wishes and desires without praying the word of God. Well, that's nice. That's good. You spent time in prayer communion with God, and we know prayer is meeting with God, right? Yes. It's communion with God. But for prayer to be effective, It must come. It must be the word of God we are praying. Mm-hmm. It's got to be.
Yes.
It's got to be. To pray effectively, we must have God's word settled within us, resting in our soul. Yes. Because when situations happen, what's in your soul, what's controlling your soul, is what's going to come out of your mouth.
Yes.
That's what it means that out of the abundance of the heart, that's the soul, that's not your spirit. That's your soul, because if it's your spirit, it always speaks the right thing because it came from God. But that word heart means your soul, okay? We must be abiding in His Word. That is the key for successful prayer life and relationship with God, abiding in His Word. What does John 15:7 say? Well, let's read it. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. John 15:7. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you will ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. If my word lives powerfully within you, if you know the power and believe the power in my word, you will ask, and it shall be done.
Amen.
You will ask, and it shall be done, because you know the power of my word. So you ask according to my word, because you abide in my word, because my word is settled deep down inside of you. There's not a debate about my word. It's settled. It rests in your soul, and you know, so it lives in you powerfully, because you are in union with me, and you will ask whatever you want, whatever you desire, whatever is in your soul that's resting in me, and it shall be done for you. Okay. That's what our Lord and Savior said. Okay, 1 John 4:14-15. Turn to 1 John. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation once again. 1 John 4:14-15. Moreover, we have seen with our own eyes and can testify to the truth that Father God has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And I'm in the wrong place. Hallelujah, but that's good. That is good. But I have copied the wrong.
That's not the one.
The one is that we know if we ask according to His will,
that we will
have what we ask of Him. I think I didn't go down far enough. If we ask according to His will, well, help me, Holy Spirit. I know that You will. I know that You will help me. Hallelujah. Okay. I know it's 1 John, and I know He will help me find it. If you find it first, just jump right in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank
First
you,
John,
Lord.
5:14.
5. So I needed to go over one more chapter. Hallelujah. That's where it is. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Let me change that in my notes. 1 John 5:14-15. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before Him. For if we ask anything agreeable to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, and whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the request that we ask of Him. His will is His word. So we have this confidence if we have prayed according to His word, or according to His will, if we agree with His word and that He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, and whatever we've asked, then we know that we have what we have asked of Him.
Amen.
According to His word. That's prayer. That's the right kind of prayer. That's the abiding prayer. Okay. We know there's different types of prayer, right? We know there's a prayer of petition. We know that we make our request to God with thanksgiving. We know there's entreaties. We entreat God for things, for His favor, right?
Yes.
We also know there's intercession. We also know there's cries of mercy. There's cries of mercy. We also know that there's prayers asking God to bless believers. And you can find all those Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and in 1 Timothy 2:1. We know there's different types of prayers. I'm not going to teach on prayer today. I think we are very clear as a body about prayer. Prayer is coming into communion with God, right? And asking and making request of God. Yes. We just read it. That if we ask anything according to His will and the power of His word, then He hears us, then we have this confidence that because He heard us, because we prayed according to His word, that we have what we ask Him for, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we have established what prayer is. Let's move on in today into Romans chapter 11, and let's look at a couple of men here. We're going to look at Apostle Paul, and then we're going to look at the prophet Elijah and what happened as a result of their prayer. What did God do, or what came out of their prayer to God?
Kathy,
yes.
I'm going to give two references. I'm not going to expound on them, so that those that want to write it down Joshua, remembering that the Lord says, Joshua says to meditate. The Lord says to Joshua, meditate on my word night and day. Mm-hmm. There you'll find success.
Okay.
So that goes along with what was just
abiding
spoken
in.
About abiding. And then this week, searching a little bit of this out, Matthew 17, where you have the demonic son that throws itself into the water and into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the father comes to Jesus and, I've called on your disciples and they couldn't do it. The Lord tells, Jesus tells the disciples, they said, how come we couldn't do it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, because you were faithless. I looked up the word. You were faithless and doubting.
Mm.
See, they weren't abiding in the word.
There you go.
So I just wanted to give those.
That's good.
So
that's
you
good.
Can move
good
on.
Examples.
Yeah,
that's
the examples instead of at the end. I wanted to thought it'd be better right now.
It is.
Jesus literally told them, you're faithless and you're doubting.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you could not cast that thing out of Him.
And that is why the Passion Translation says, you know the power of His word.
Yes.
You know the power.
Yes.
Of His word. You're abiding in the power. You have a life union with Him. You're connected with Him. And you know the power of the word. He is the word made flesh.
Amen.
You know the power of speaking the word given to you by the word.
Amen.
Of God.
Yes.
The living word of God. Right?
Yes.
Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. The words are spirit and life. I want us to look today what comes out. We should expect something. We should expect when we're along with God, when we're meditation and prayer, meeting with God, communion with God, and we pray, we should expect an answer.
Yes.
That answer is a revelation that comes from God. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I need to. That answer is a revelation. I'm going to prove this through the word. That answer is a revelation. If you're going to pray to God, you should expect an answer.
Yes.
If you're asking God a question, you should expect an answer.
Yes.
That answer that comes through prayer is a revelation. Is to become a decree or proclamation. It's the answer to the problem that you brought before God. It's an answer. So you don't keep on praying. You make the declaration, because the declaration is the revelation and is the answer to the problem. Just like with Dwight. No. The resurrection power of Christ abides in Dwight, and it will quicken his mortal body. It will quicken the left side of his body and bring life.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm. Okay, we're going to see this in Romans chapter 11. I'm going to break this down for us. We learn in this chapter that the Lord has a divine response or revelation. The answer of God to every prayer is the declaration given by Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to say that again. Well, I'm going to show this to you. The Lord showed. I'm reading in the book of Romans. And when I saw this week, Carmen had already been sharing with me about declarations. She asked me to watch some things. I didn't have a chance to watch them yet. But I was still in this passage. And I tell you, the Spirit of God will quicken it to you. When I was in this passage, He quickened it to me. And He gave me revelation. I said, God, I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it, Lord. I see it. I see what you've been trying to demonstrate to us, and then he gave me a demonstration of it yesterday. That's what he wants to do for all of us. God will give you a demonstration of his word. He will show you the reality of it. Amen.
Amen.
Let me repeat this for you. We learn in the chapter Romans 11 that the Lord has a divine response or revelation. The answer of God to every prayer is the declaration given by Holy Spirit. Expect an answer when you pray. Move. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but pray. Yes, we pray and we ask and we petition, because there's always new things that come into our life. People have needs, and we ought to make our requests known to God. But as we make our requests known to God and He answers, I don't have to keep on praying about that. If He gives me the revelation and the declaration to make, I don't have to go back and keep on praying about that.
That's right.
I have the revelation and the declaration. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. I know you believe me. I'm proof to you anyway.
Amen.
Okay. Paul has an anguish over Israel, right?
Yes.
We know that in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 10, 1. His passionate desire of heart and constant prayer to God is for his fellow Israelites to experience salvation. That is the burden of Paul. He is weighed down and burdened by this. He wants light and revelation to come to Israel concerning Christ the Messiah. Remember, he prayed, I wish that I could be cursed, that you might be saved.
Mm.
Now, that's a deep anguish of soul, isn't it?
Mm.
We know that's not possible, but he carried that burden in him. So God speaks this word to Paul. Okay, Romans chapter 11. God will not forget his promise to Israel. So then, I ask you this question. Did God really push aside and reject his people? Absolutely not. For I myself am a Jew, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. Keep in mind, Paul has this anguish with God. He's praying to God. You got that? He's praying to God. You got it? He's praying. Now God's going to give an answer. Okay? He's carrying this burden. Then God gives a revelation. I believe after this, Paul started declaring the answer. I do believe it. I believe after this point, when God showed Paul this in Romans chapter 11 concerning this burden in prayer for Israel, I believe from that point, Paul started speaking out the revelation that God had given him. Okay. God has not rejected his chosen, destined people. Have you heard Elijah's testimony in the scriptures? Paul's bringing us to remembrance. Have you heard Elijah's testimony in the scriptures and how he prays to God, agonizing over Israel? Who's praying to God? Elijah. Who's petitioning God here in Romans? Paul. So we see Paul and Elijah both are doing what? They're praying. They're making intercession. They're carrying a burden before God. And he's saying, have you not heard Elijah's testimony? Not prayer, but his testimony. And of course, we know if we go to Kings, 1 Kings 9, 19, we'll see Elijah's burden, right? We know that. Okay. This is what he said. Lord, they've murdered your prophets. Elijah's frustrated over Israel. Lord, they've murdered your prophets. They've demolished your altars. Now I'm the only one left and they want to kill me. Does it feel like this in this world? Does it feel like this in this world? God, where are the righteous?
Yes.
I got good news today. I got a good declaration. I'm just waiting for someone to say something to me about America's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm just waiting for somebody to say something to me like that, because I got a revelation from God how to answer them. And this is my proclamation and this is my declaration. And we're going to go on and we're going to learn it. Hallelujah. But what was the revelation God spoke to him in response? Paul had a prayer. Oh, yeah. God, I'm the only one left. God, this is what they're doing. But what was God's revelation to Elijah in response to his what? Prayer. What happens in response to prayer? You get a revelation. Are you getting it? I know you are getting it. And next week, they're going to get it again. Hallelujah, because I'm going to preach it again next week. We're going to get it again. Let it marinate. Okay, so I looked up that word. Now, the footnote here in the Passion Translation to that word revelation, but I looked it up too because that's what a good student does, right?
Yes.
That's why I give you the Greek and I want you to look it up. That's what a good student does. And we're students. We're eating the meat. We're not on the milk. We're on the meat of God's word. It means divine utterance. This, oh my God, God spoke. God had something to say to Elijah. And God had something to say to Paul. And God's got something to say to the church today concerning. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It means a divine utterance. This is the only place in the New Testament this Greek word appears. It could imply the audible voice of God that was spoken to Elijah. A divine utterance. Go back. Verse 4. But what was the revelation God spoke to him, meaning Elijah, in response to his prayer? What was it? Okay, so I looked up that word. I had to go back. My concordance goes back to the King James, because it's a King James-based concordance. So I had to go back to the King James, took out my King James Bible, and I looked up that word. Okay, this is what that word means. It's I think in the King James it says, what was God's reply? It says, what was God's answer? Yes. It says, what was God's answer? The New King James says, what was God's reply? So I went to the Greek, and I looked it up, and it's number 5538. And it's kremat emos, with emphasis on the last syllable, M-O-S. Kremat emos. And it comes from... Okay. And it comes... Say it again. I'll put it on the recorder for those... The word is pronounced
Strong's G5537.
Chrematizo. Chrematizo. Okay, well, maybe it comes from another word. The word I got had the M-O-S on the end. So maybe that's what it is. Okay. Well, anyway, it comes from another word, 5537. This chrematimos comes from another word, 5537, which means a divine response or revelation. An answer of God, which is exactly what this footnote says here, but I checked that out for myself, which is what I want you to do. It's a divine response or revelation or an answer from God. Do you think sometimes maybe God is sitting here, He's given us a revelation, He's given us the answer, but we're praying over and over, but God's already given us a revelation, He's already given us the answer. It's time to move out of the prayer mode into what the revelation or the answer is or the divine response of God. Okay, move over into the divine response of God. Okay, so let's keep on going here. This was the divine response of God. But what was the revelation or God spoke to him in response to his prayer? Verse 4. You are not alone. This was God's utterance. This was God's answer to his prayer. For I have preserved a remnant for myself. 7,000 others who are faithful and have refused to worship Baal.
Amen.
This was God's answer. So if God's answer, does Paul need to keep on praying the same thing?
No.
No. So Paul's confession or declaration or decree would be, God, you have a remnant.
Yes.
God, you have a remnant that has not bowed their knee to Baal. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's what will start being spoken out of the prophet's mouth.
Yes.
Saying, okay, let's keep on going. But that is one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. And that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. Okay, stop. That was Elijah's age of fulfillment. Elijah lived in that age, right? Now, Paul is writing this under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So now this is Paul's age of fulfillment. Do you see that? This is Paul's age. What about our age of fulfillment? Do we have an age of fulfillment? Sure we do. Elijah had an age of fulfillment, and God spoke and said what? I have a remnant, Elijah, that has not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, Paul gets a revelation from God. I have a remnant, Paul, that will receive Christ as Messiah. You're agonizing over this, and it's a burden you have for Israel. Here's my answer, Paul. I have a remnant.
Amen.
Let's keep on going. Then I'm going to go back to how this applies to us in the church. But this is only how many examples?
One.
One example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. Right now is an age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant. God's grace empowers His chosen remnant. What is God's answer? What is God's prophetic utterance? What is God's revelation to Paul's distress? His answer, God's answer to this, His revelation becomes Paul's declaration. No, God, I see, I understand that You have a remnant in this age of fulfillment that will be empowered by Your grace because they are Your chosen ones.
Amen. Amen.
So what am I going to say to what I see in the world today? What am I going to say? When it looks like all this is going on around me, distress, trouble, what am I going to say to this? Well, this is our blessing this week. This is our blessing this week. It's going to come out of Romans 11, chapter 5. But this is one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant. This is my declaration. If I carry the same anguish Paul does, and I should as a believer, I should carry the same anguish for the body of Christ. Right?
Yes.
We're part of the same body. I should carry the same anguish for society. So what is going to become my declaration? If I have received the revelation here, I have received the revelation of God's answer, His answer to Elijah and His answer to Paul. So this is my declaration. Our blessing this week is the declaration. This is how it goes. God is doing in this age of fulfillment.
Amen.
God is doing in this age of fulfillment.
Amen.
God is doing in this age of fulfillment.
Amen.
For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant.
Amen.
That is my declaration. No, 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 no. God is doing. God is doing. God is doing in this age of fulfillment. This is a present age of fulfillment. God is doing in this age of fulfillment, for His grace empowers His chosen remnant.
Amen.
That's my answer.
Amen.
That's my confession. No, God is doing.
Amen.
No, God is doing. No, God is doing.
Amen.
Why? Because out of the prayer has come the divine utterance of God.
Amen.
I don't sit there praying the problem and speaking over and over about it again. Out of the anguish of the soul and the prayer has come the divine utterance of God. Has come the revelation of God, which becomes a declaration or a proclamation. So I don't sit there and keep on praying and anguishing over it. I speak the revelation.
Amen.
That changes the situation.
Amen. Praise God.
If I'm going to pray to God, I should expect an answer. I should expect a revelation if I'm going to pray to Him. I should expect, okay, God, this is what it is. I lay it out, God. Now, what is it? I had that for Denise. And I prayed for her this week. And we were talking on the phone. I said, no, Denise, this is the word. And this is the word that I'm going to confess over you. And this is the word that you're going to confess with me. Every time you get up off your seat or out of your bed, or every time you take one step, in Him I live and move and have my being. In Him I live and I move and I have my being.
Amen.
That's the revelation.
Amen.
That's the answer to the problem. I'm not going to keep on focusing on the problem or praying over and over and over and over and over and over about the problem. If I'm not careful, that puts a burden in my soul. All I focus on is the problem.
Yes. What you're trying to get rid of remains.
So I speak the word that He speaks. When you speak, Jesus said, if you abide in me, in union with me, and in the power, and you know the power of my word, you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. That's the revelation.
Yes.
When He speaks, that's the revelation. When I speak what He speaks and I speak the revelation, I get the answer.
Amen.
You see the difference between prayer and declaration?
Yes.
I believe God wants to move the body. We've been praying and praying. God wants to move us into another area, another aspect of relationship with Him.
Yes.
He wants us to move us into that area where we get the revelation, we act on it, we speak what He says to speak.
Yes.
So I just believe. I just believe Paul from this point. He kept on speaking. No, God, you have a remnant, just like Elijah.
Mm.
And Elijah found that remnant. He found those prophets.
Yes,
he did. He found them. But I believe Elijah started speaking. No, God, you have a remnant that has not bowed their knee to Baal in this current age, God, of fulfillment. See, that all those words are important. In this age of fulfillment, God, in this age of fulfillment, your plan stands, God. Your plan remains, God.
Yes.
Your purposes will be fulfilled in the earth because you have an anointed remnant that's anointed by your grace and empowered by your grace.
Yes.
And I'm a part of that remnant.
Yes.
And you're a part of that remnant.
Mm.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God has a divine response. He has a revelation. He has an answer. This age of fulfillment that we live in. Let's keep on going. But that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers His chosen remnant. God's grace empowers His chosen remnant. And since it is by God's grace, it can't be a matter of their good works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort. So then, Israel failed to achieve what it had strived for. But the divinely chosen remnant receives it by grace. Oh, the divinely chosen remnant receives it by grace. Well, what are we preaching? Am I preaching predestination? That God has decided some will receive Him and some will not? No. That's not that is not predestination. Because the Word of God tells us that whosoever will shall be saved.
Right.
Whosoever will. That God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Should be.
Yes.
Guaranteed that through Him they will be saved. God gives this invitation to all, but I like what Dr. Fuchsia Pickett says. You have to choose to be chosen.
Amen.
You have to make a choice.
Yes.
Am I going to be one of the chosen ones?
Yes.
I have to choose to be chosen. I have to choose to be part of this divine remnant. I've made a choice. I am a part of the divine remnant. I am the remnant in the earth. Let me tell you something. As long as there's a remnant in the earth, in this city where I live, in this county where I live in, I'm a remnant. In this state that I live in, in this United States of America that I live in, I am a remnant. And God's divine grace is on me. As long as there is a remnant, God will preserve the places where His remnant reside.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Carolyn, for that response.
Amen.
Okay. So then Israel failed to achieve what it had strived for the divinely chosen remnant receives it by grace. There is a remnant within Israel, Paul. I've got a remnant. In this age of fulfillment, I'm doing, God. I'm doing it, Paul. I'm doing it. And my grace empowers my remnant. So then Israel failed to achieve what it had strived for, but the divinely chosen remnant receives it by grace, while the rest were hardened and unable to receive the truth. Just as it is written, we see it in the world today. We see it in the world today. God granted them a deep spirit of slumber. What does that mean? The Aramaic can be translated a spirit of frustration. Because they rejected the Messiah, and because those in the earth today reject the truth in Christ, God will grant them what they want, and that's a spirit of frustration. He closed their eyes to the truth and prevented their ears from hearing. Okay? He gave them eyes that could see and ears that could hear. He gave them eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear. Deuteronomy 29:4, Isaiah 6:10, and Isaiah 29:10-3. God granted them a spirit of deep slumber. He closed their eyes to the truth and prevented their ears from hearing up to this very day as a nation in Paul's day. But God has a remnant. But God has a remnant. And King David also prophesied this. Y'all, it's just the truth. There's a remnant everywhere. It's just the truth. It's just the truth that some are going to close their eyes, y'all, and some are going to close their ears. It's just the truth. King David also prophesied this, but it also is the truth. I don't get to decide who closes their eyes and closes their ears. I am obligated to speak words of life over them all. It's not my choice. Because I'm not the one that chose the divine remnant. Do you understand? There is a remnant. And King David also prophesied this. May their table prove to be a snare. This could also be a metaphor for their false security. Being in a place of well-being and favor, King David's son Absalom had held a banquet as a pretense to murder his brother Amnon. May their table prove to be a snare and a trap to cause their ruin. Bring them the retribution they deserve. Blindfold their eyes and don't let them see. Let them be stooped over continually. That's for the ones that come against God's remnant, y'all. That's for the ones that reject. Tammy, I know you have to go. That's the ones for the ones that reject and come against God's remnant. Well, Kathy, that's cruel. That's just cruel. Let me tell you something. We have a cruel devil. And if the devil is after you and is laying a trap for you and he's using a person that won't bend or turn, you think I'm going to say, oh, God bless you. No, I'm going to say, God, prepare a trap for them. They're trying to entrap me, God. Prepare a trap for them, Lord. Come on. Wickedness is wickedness.
Yes.
And there are people that are bent on wickedness. Look at Pharaoh. God said, I hardened his heart that I might display my mercy and my goodness toward Israel. Well, Pharaoh didn't stand a chance, you might say. No, Pharaoh had many opportunities to repent.
Yes.
But he did not repent.
Yes.
What am I saying in all this? I'm saying that it is a reality. It is a reality that there are some that are going to be bent on wickedness. They're going to be bent on wickedness. And God is not going to let the wicked desire of the wicked prevail against the desire of the righteous. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I'm saying that if a wicked person gets in the way of God's plan for the righteous. He says, I prepare their table as a stumbling block for them. What they trust in for their defense will actually end up being a stumbling block for them, and the righteous will go free. It's a reality. I think about this years and years ago, something that Lucy Andre, you had said about the justice of God. If you as a parent, if you have two children and one child is continually verbally abusing the other child, or not just verbally, but hitting them also, as a father or a mother, you step in and you rectify the situation. You bring justice to the situation. You don't let that behavior keep on happening, correct?
Right.
Correct. Well, so is our Heavenly Father. Because if I, as a parent, one of my children is abusing another child, another a sibling, and I don't do something as a parent, what does that cause that child to do? They lose confidence in me to take care of them. And especially also if it's a male that's doing that to a female as a child, then that child can grow up, that female can grow up thinking, this is acceptable, this is how it's supposed to happen. Right? And it's not how it's supposed to happen.
Right.
So if God does not step in and demonstrate His justice, then His people have the wrong concept of how God's going to look after them and protect them. God will look after and protect His people.
Yes.
And God will come against the wicked. God will come against the wicked who come against His people. And, that brings me hope and confidence at night. I don't like being abused. I don't like being mistreated. That's not normal. And to know that my God is going to rectify it and my God's going to take care of it, and I have to keep it right in my heart. Mm-hmm. I can't let bitterness form in my heart against them. And the Lord says, he even told King David, now when I come against them, don't you start rejoicing about it, lest it turn and come back on you.
Mm-hmm.
So even in that, you have to keep your heart right before God.
Yeah.
But you still have to know that God is a just God, and God will He will vindicate. Vengeance belongs to God, and He will vindicate. He will take care of business. You know why? Because He has a chosen remnant. I hope this helped us today. I'm not gonna keep on and on with this. But the point I'm trying to make in this is that in our prayer, there is a divine utterance that comes from God. There is a revelation that comes from God. And when we have this word in our heart, we have the word of God in our heart abiding us. When situations come up in life, is that word of God in us that comes to the response, it comes to the rescue in that situation. And when we've prayed about it already and been praying about this, then what comes out is the declaration.
Mm.
It flows out of you. The declaration will just flow. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not coming in here.
Amen.
It's the declaration that comes out of our mouth. It's the revelation that comes from God. That's what we keep on speaking. That's what we speak out concerning the situation. That's what we see will manifest and will happen, is the declaration. The declaration is the revelation.
Amen.
The declaration is what comes out of prayer. Prayer is different from declaration. First, there's the prayer and petition to God. Out of the prayer and the petition of God comes the declaration, which is the revelation, which is what we speak out of our mouth. It is the answer to the problem. We're declaring the answer to the problem.
Amen.
Did you have anything else to add to that, Carmen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we're going to teach this again next week, because the body of Christ needs to know this.
Yes.
This is the next place God wants to take us in power and faith, y'all.
Yes.
This is the place to push us through.
Amen.
This next force to push us through.
Amen.
And I'm going to let you share, I promise.
Oh, yes.
I believe we've been doing it all the time as a body of Christ. We just didn't realize it. But one of the things for me I need to realize is that, yes, I've been making these declarations, but yet at the same time, too, I need to watch. I need to also be mindful that I'm not still asking God and petitioning God for something He's already given me the revelation on.
Yes.
That's what I need to be mindful of. God, if you've already given me the revelation on this, why am I still petitioning you about this?
Yes. Yes,
it is continuing to speak it, because even as Kathy used the word divide today, probably going on about 2 years ago, praying for Hannah, Kathy will tell you, because it does. It comes, something will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in our walk, we're not even aware, we might even think it's our own self. But the Lord, in a quietness, you're driving in the car, you're washing the dishes, you're doing whatever, you hear a word or you hear a sentence or you hear a phrase. So be open to hearing God is not always going to come, because it's that clear definition that Kathy gave us today. It's a divine
utterance, a revelation, an
answer. All I heard was the word divide. I was walking in the shop and I kept hearing divide, and I said, Father, thank you, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
And all I kept speaking over Hannah, divide. And then as I shared it with Kathy, there was a couple of scriptures. Because this can get into with others, you have to be very careful. Because I'm going to tell you, last night, I almost came into a doubt again. Because in looking some things up, I came up with some people that again were trying to say that we're getting into the grab it, blab it thing. As I went into the shower this morning, the Lord brought back a couple of experiences. And see, like for Philip, mm-hmm. this will be an experience that he will always remember. He will be able to go back to last night in his soul and in his heart. And he'll be able to say, no, that's devil, right. Because I remember when.
That's right.
See, because that's right. What an experience. Okay. So as I was getting in the shower this morning, the Lord brought back a couple of experiences for me way back in the 80s. And I said, Father, thank you.
Mm.
Because I started to get into doubt again. Because we have to be, because again, is what I've been saying over and over the last couple of months. And here is, God watches over His Word.
Yeah, His Word.
So, what He speaks to you, I said all of that to say this, what He speaks to you, it will be in accordance with His Word. Even if He gives you, it's a different word, it's other phrase sentences, it'll be one word, a few words, a couple of sentences, but it will be based on His Word, because it's a divine utterance. So, then the Lord also reminded me this morning, He said, but concerning Hannah, you let go. You quit speaking. You have stopped saying divide. See, I said it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because even Robert was saying, because there was people that she had joined up with. And I knew that it was not good. And there's one girl in particular. She, to this day, I haven't seen her but two or three times. She won't look at me. I've gone to go pick Hannah up. This was, like, again, several years ago. And she would say, Mama, this is so-and-so. Well, I already knew, but I knew of her through conversation. But first time I had physically seen her, I was meeting them somewhere. Hannah was in the car with her. And the girl just barely looked over, hey, and looked. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't look.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't look
mm-hmm.
at me.
Mm-mm.
And the Lord reminded me, get back to that word. I gave you a word concerning your daughter, and it's divide. And that's all. So, see, I walk around and I'll say, Father, I thank you that you gave me the word for Hannah, and it's divide.
That's right.
You're going to divide it.
That's
see,
right.
That's what I do. I don't
that's
pray
right.
anymore. I
no,
go around and I speak that divine utterance.
He gave you the word.
See, you understand what we're trying to say
yeah.
here today.
Yeah.
That's what I say. She's my seed and she shall be saved.
Amen.
And there's times, even in a few minutes ago, I got that yucky thing in my head. You know, everybody else's child will be saved, but mine, oh, hell no.
Oh, no, that's right.
Because, see, I'll be honest with you, those thoughts will come in.
Yes, they will. You have to fight and fight
but
the good fight of faith.
But see, that's, I shake it off with, no, I got a divine utterance from God.
Amen.
It is the word divine.
Amen.
I will divide.
That's right.
I go back to final authority. Mm-hmm. And the last time Tracy was there, when we were in that church, and she spoke over Hannah,
mm-hmm.
she said something about you, it's the same, what's on me is on you. She said
wow.
something about,
glory to God.
She said something about what was in her, on her.
Mm-hmm.
She said that in a moment you're walking one way. And she said it's like, she said it was a particular type of soldier that in a split you're this way.
Mm.
See, it's those things that we have to go back to
them.
The prophetic
That's
word.
Right. The
because
utterance.
From the prophets, from what He gives you, their divine utterance.
That's right.
Because God says, what we're asking, He said, you keep asking, And I'm telling you, I already gave you to do it. Mm. Quit asking me about the same thing. Now, do we ask? Do we seek? Do we not? Yes, because that's also scripture. But when he gives you a word that area.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm going to tell you what, too. Well, I'm not going to tell you on the recorder. I'll tell y'all. Okay. Let me read. Okay. Psalms. These are some different things that I got from this last. Because I'm going to tell you, when I seen this again from these people the other day, I said, God, this is just for me. Because that man that Kathy and I told you that we're going to go back out to, because I enjoy listening to him minister. But both times that we went, the 2 years ago, and then we went a month or two ago, he spoke the same word, and I know he doesn't remember every word that he speaks mm-hmm. over everybody. Mm-hmm. He spoke, one of the things he spoke over me both times was the exact same thing. You can't quit.
Mm.
He said, you can't do it. You've wanted to quit. You can't do it. And I'm sitting there
don't
thinking.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't
yeah,
quit.
And he said, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't quit. And I'm sitting there thinking, what is it? What is it that I don't quit? You know, because, because I'm going to tell you, because, you know, all of our walks, not been easy.
Mm-mm.
And it's like, God, you said, and I see everybody else getting this and doing that and getting breakthroughs, and I'm not getting it. God, why am I not getting it? What am I doing that I'm not getting and receiving, even though I'm believing? Mm. And all I get is, don't quit. Don't quit what?
Mm.
Father, it's not very compassionate. I don't feel like that's a very compassionate word from you for me. I don't get it. And then I saw this again, and it said the power of the decrees.
Mm.
And I just, I can't quit. Because I'm going to tell you whatever is there. I'm going to go with what my buddy said, Susan. She said, Carmen, there's going to be such a Shekinah glory.
Oh,
she said,
God.
She said, there's going to be such a glory for you for having to do all this.
Mm.
And I'm just going to go with it. Let's read real quick. I'll save some of this for next week. This is such good. I am going to give y'all this one, because this phrase right here that I've got to set it in me, for our house, for our children, for good and for the Lord and for the enemy. Is set in motion to daily get up with our prayer and our decrees. Devil, you will not set in motion anything for my children, my church, me today.
Mm.
Everything that you've got planned, I call them void and nullified. They will not succeed. Everything, any plan you have, anything that you've set in motion that's going to come against me in my day for me to succeed, I call it null and void right there. Mm. I'm going to tell you what, them warring angels, they rise up right then, boom. That's what they want to hear.
Because
I'm going to tell you, they're ready to fight. They want to fight. But they can't fight until they have the word of God. And God will watch over that word to perform it. Because he's a covenant-keeping God. I'll share whatever else next week. I won't go through the Psalms 149 because it'll be worthy this week and next week. And I'm not... The end is what? But I'm going to go through the whole thing. In the passion. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's time to sing God a brand new song. Father, we're in a new era. We're gonna sing a new song so that all his holy people will hear how wonderful he is. May Israel be enthused with joy because of him. Well, I'm going to tell you what. These are decrees right here.
Yes,
to speak forth. May the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their king. Break forth with dancing. Make music and sing God's praise with the rhythm of the drums. He enjoys his faithful lovers.
He enjoys his faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with his beauty. And he loves to give them the victory.
You love to give me the victory, Lord.
His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. There's a difference there. There's a divide right there. There's a divide. There's a difference. A divide is a difference. God, I thank you. You're making a difference in my Hannah even right now as I am speaking. You are dividing her from everything that is evil that's come upon her to take her away from you. And you are bringing her back just like a soldier that's on his walk going one way and one step. She's a different direction.
See, that's a declaration. She just demonstrated declaration.
God's high and holy praises fill their mouths. Here's where it starts, what I really want to get to, because all of it's good. For their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Because even in a declaration, we typically get excited and we shout, and that's a praise.
Or
and
decrees.
It's a weapon. See, these decrees is another weapon of war. Okay, now listen to all the rest of this. These warring weapons will bring vengeance. On every opposing force and every resistant power. So, see, devil, you're not setting in motion.
No.
My father's already got a plan today.
That's
you're
right.
not coming against
That's right.
his plan,
the plan the
for
Lord's
my
plan.
Life, for my children,
That's
for
right.
my work, for my church, for the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Because these warring weapons are a vengeance on you. So what are the warring weapons? We'll go all through the first of it, what we just read. Those are all the warring weapons. Okay? Because you're an opposing force and you're a resistant power. You're not setting in motion. I nullify it today. To bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. And I'm going to tell you, in the natural, when I read this other day, I said Maduro, Kim Jong-un, Putin, right now. You're shackled. You're not making one more demonic move. Those things that are on you, I shackle those things. I shackle that devil king that causes you to move upon their people with such evilness that doesn't allow them to eat or live or move. You're shackled.
Amen. We have authority to do
that. Yes. I bind those kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. They'll go up to move and they can't move. For the mercy of their soul. For mercy of their soul.
It's the word.
Now, this is the better. This is the cherry on top right here. Verse 9. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. Woo! Oh, Lord have them. Oh! Praise, feel. The judgment doom decreed against their enemies.
The judgment doom.
Yeah, and there again, want to separate the spiritual.
Yes.
That's upon those that are in the natural. That I keep speaking to Robert over and over. All the stuff's going on. They're in darkness. Just to be honest, most of them don't know what they're doing. Because they're in darkness. But the judgment doom that they decree, no. No, it will not be fulfilled.
No, it will not.
It will not be fulfilled.
In this age of fulfillment.
We will enforce the judgment doom decree against their enemies. This, listen to what the Lord says about that for us. This is a glorious honor He gives to all His godly lovers. Mm. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I understand what some of those teachers are trying to say with grab. I understand it. But at the same time, they need to be careful because they're keeping the body from doing what we are saying here today. We got to be careful on both sides. So, to me, the barometer is what I speak. Is that a word that the Lord watches over to perform?
Mm-hmm.
That's the barometer.
Right.
If I can say what I speak out, Father, is this a word that you'll watch over to perform? Then I can speak it.
That's right.
If I get a check, just lay it on the side. Just lay it on the side. Write it down, lay it on the side.
Right.
But that's a good barometer.
Yes.
That is a thermometer right there.
Yes. Yes. And it goes back to 1 John 5, 14, 15.
Yes.
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 We have this confidence if we ask anything according to His will and His word.
Yes.
That He hears us.
Yes.
And we have this confidence that if He hears us, that we have the petition that we ask of
Him. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That goes back to the abiding word.
Yes.
The power of the abiding word in us.
Yes. Now, the last 2 weeks, concerning the craziness going on, the first customer that I spoke to, and then I spoke to another, and it just came up out of me. Because, you know.
Because it's in you.
Yeah. Because it was, I don't remember how it was, but it was a quick, short conversation while I was ringing them up, the craziness going on, and I said, but God is working. Carmen, do you really believe that? I said, oh yeah. I said, that's why it's crazy. Because the devil's going, what's he doing next? Where's the church going? He doesn't know what to do. That's why it's going. And then what came up out of me, I said, when God took Israel out of Egypt, was it pretty? They went, no. And they got their stuff, and I could see their whole countenance there. That brought them peace.
Mm-hmm.
I said, was it pretty? They said,
it was bloody.
No.
It was bloody. It was a bloody mess.
It was yucky. The plagues. All of that.
And the final.
But God moved His people out.
He separated.
He got His people out of there. But was it pretty? I said, so can we say that God was moving, but it wasn't pretty? So then the next people came in, I don't know, a week or so later, older couple. Same thing. They brought up a little bit about the craziness. And I said the same thing. She almost said the same thing the other lady said.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen, do you really believe that? And I spoke the same thing, and again, the countenance changed.
Yes.
And it brought
the entrance of His word brings light.
Again, see, the experience, that process, the experience, but I believe the process is going to be quicker because God said it was. He said, I'm going to accelerate. But see, they went back to the experience even though they weren't there, but they knew it to be true.
Yeah.
And everything ended up okay.
Yes.
That it brought them peace.
Amen. Yes.
It brought them peace.
God is doing in this age of fulfillment.
Yes.
That's our confession.
Yes.
For He has a powerful grace that is on His remnant.
Yes.
God is doing in this age of fulfillment.
Yes.
God is doing.
Yes. You know
God
what?
Is
really,
doing.
Truly, when we look
God
back
is doing.
I even think about a lot of the things in the Old Testament now, and even up to Jesus, and anytime God was
moving and working, was it ever peaceful and quiet? If there was one, we had to search it out, because there might have been. But Jericho, it started off quiet, but then that building went down. Egypt, Esther, there's so many that's some of the way out in the natural. It's crazy, but that's where God is. That's where he's moving, because he's stirring a pot and he's driving the demons berserkos. They don't know what to do next.
So this is our declaration.
It's a divine setup.
Yes.
Amen.
Like when they had the war or one of the battles, and they took out the pitchers.
Yes.
And the lights.
Gideon.
Yes.
Gideon.
Oh, yes.
Gideon.
Who does that in a battle except
yes.
the Lord speaks?
Yes.
Amen.
And then you hear all this noise
yes.
and the enemy scared. They ain't even have to fire the weapon.
No,
you
they
know
didn't.
What? But you know what? I'm glad that you brought up that one, because that one was probably one of the quietest one. You know, and Esther was probably a more quiet one. But most of the time when God's moving, it's tumultuous.
Yeah. And
most of the time, it's tumultuous.
Yeah.
So this is our declaration. This is our proclamation. This is our decree. Romans 11:5. God is doing.
God is doing.
In this age of fulfillment.
God
does that do something on the inside of you?
Yeah.
God
is
doing.
In this
does
age
something on
of fulfillment.
That does something
God
on the inside of me.
Doing
God
in this
is
age
doing.
Of
in this yes. age of fulfillment,
yes.
For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant.
Mm.
And we're doing it with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.